Well, what an honor to be here on Heart for His House Sunday. If you don't know me, my name is Mitch, and it's so great that you would be with us today in church. What an awesome morning it's been already, and we're expectant for all God has got ahead for us. Amen. Cherish His church. Our theme for this year has been to cherish His church. And I've spoken this last week, and this week I want to focus on what are the real essential elements of church. If we strip everything else away and just bring it to these few things that really matter, we'll be all right. We'll have His church. That's what we can cherish about His church. And I believe it's these two things, that it's His presence and His people. And it's how wonderful to gather together with His people in His presence. You know, I just think when we gather, His presence is here in this place. Jesus said, when you gather, I am there in your midst. So His presence is beautiful, it's powerful, it changes our lives. There's nothing like being in the presence of Jesus. I know that when I'm in the presence of Jesus, I won't walk away the same. He changes me, He heals me, He makes me whole. So His presence, but today I really want to focus on His people. His people. Aren't we blessed to have His people together? And I shared this scripture last week, and I want to go here again in Matthew 13 in verse 44. Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. What's the treasure of the church? I believe it's His presence in His people. These things that we treasure. And you know, this scripture, I've always kind of looked at it through one lens, that Jesus is the treasure. Wouldn't you agree? He's worth everything. I've given everything to follow Jesus because He is that treasure that I need to have in my life. I cannot do life without Jesus. I need Him. But recently I saw this scripture through a different lens. I kind of came to understand that I am that treasure. I'm the treasure that Jesus gave everything for. He gave everything so that He could purchase me, so that He could take me from my sin and make me new again. I'm the treasure. You're the treasure. You're the treasure that Jesus gave everything for. You matter to Jesus. So if we treasure His presence, we also treasure His people because Jesus gave everything for His people. He gave everything for His church. You are the treasure. I'm the treasure. People are the treasure. Our community is the treasure. Jesus gave everything for them. Paul, he got this. In 1 Corinthians, it says in chapter 9, doing everything I can to save some, I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings. I do everything to save some, to save one. Isn't it worth it to give everything to see one person come to Christ? People are the treasure. And so today I want to actually hear from some people. I know there's so many testimonies and stories across the life of our church, but I just really wanted to hear from some amazing young people who've got great testimonies and stories to share, and they're going to bless us today with that. So I'm going to invite Chloe and Ethan to come on up on stage. Why don't you give them a massive hand as they come today? And they're being super brave to come and share their story, so give them a massive encouragement. All right, Ethan, over to you, mate.
Hello, everyone. Since today is Heart for His House Sunday, I would like to thank Pastor for inviting me to share my testimony. Pretty much similar to my testimony on my baptism, but I'd like to elaborate more on my journey with the church. Today I'd like to share my testimony and my journey with my faith. For those of you who were here 4 Sundays ago, you would have witnessed a life-changing moment, not just for me, but for 6 other people, our baptism. That decision to publicly declare our faith wasn't just a symbolic act. It was a personal commitment to seek God, to trust Him, and to let Him be the center of our life as we walk this road of faith. Like many of you guys, I also grew up in a Christian home. And if I could think of anyone who really loved God and His church, it would be the first person that would come into my mind would be my mom. I'm not sure if many of you guys experienced this, but church was more of a, something I would just turn up to every Sunday, and I didn't really seek God for myself, so I didn't know Him that well. But then that all changed when something really happened. My mom was diagnosed with cancer, and then I sort of tried to seek God with asking Him for healing and so forth. And in those years, I really knew that God existed because I've seen Him work miracles. I've seen Him be the strength, the healer, provider, not just to my family, but also a purpose that kept my mom going for those 2 years. God had other plans, and His plans are something that we don't know, but He always had our goodness at your heart. So she passed away, and I was devastated. I had this scenario play out in my head, to try and prepare myself for this moment, but I guess nothing could really prepare myself to lose a parent. I felt lost, confused, and angry with God. I withdrew from my family and friends and from church, and for a long time I couldn't rely on anyone. I didn't understand how God could claim to love me, yet could allow so much pain. But even through this all, God never left me. And the most beautiful part of this journey is that He didn't just call me back to Him. He used His house, His people, and His ministry to do it. It was through the university ministry here at church, through Pastor Sonia and Pastor Rob, I slowly began rediscovering my faith. I came in not expecting much, still wrestling with my doubts and hurt. But what I found was a space filled with warmth, honesty, and a genuine love, a place where I could start over again. Through the Alpha courses, the Bible studies, and deep conversations with people who truly cared, my heart began to open up. I stopped seeing God as someone far off and started to experience Him as a Father who was walking with me, even with my brokenness. What stood out most was that the church didn't rush me. No one pressured me to have it all figured out. I was simply invited to show up with my brokenness every Sunday and let God do the rest. And that's the beauty of God's house. It's a place for healing, a place for growth, and a place to belong. Looking back now, I see that I am living in the prayers that my mom once prayed about, in the hope my family held on to and friends, and in the love that this church community has shown me. My relationship with God today is no longer based on show up every Sunday, but the truth, grace, and the presence of a God who never gave up on me. So today, on Heart for His House Sunday, I want to say thank you to this church, to this ministry, and especially to Sonia and Rob for helping me see what it truly means to walk with God. This house has played a part in bringing me home. Thank you.
Wow, that's so incredible. I'm Chloe, if you didn't hear before. My testimony is also very similar to my baptism one, but I grew up in a Christian household, as many of you have, and I always heard about God, but I never truly knew Him. I faced many struggles during the past years of high school, and instead of drawing closer to God, I pulled away. I thought I wasn't worthy of His love and that I needed to fix myself for Him to love me, so I tried living on my own. The problem was, no matter what I did, I had this emptiness in my heart. I tried filling it, but nothing could fix it. And even though I wasn't living for God, He still saved me when I needed it most. It still took me a while to turn to him. I had a conversation with one of our youth leaders, who is also my Connect leader, Hannah, at camp, and she reminded me I didn't need to be perfect to have a relationship with God. That stuck in my mind because I realized what was holding me back was something that was only in my head. I decided that week to try out youth one more time. That night changed me. I felt the love of God in a way I never experienced before. And when I got home, I surrendered my old life and gave my life to Jesus. I felt like this weight had been lifted off my shoulders, and now I know I'm never alone. I have a verse, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declared the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. God filled me with hope and peace, and that emptiness disappeared. It took a while for me to realize I never needed to change to have a relationship with him because Jesus meets us exactly where we are. Jesus truly changed me. He changed my point of view. He pulled me through times that I didn't want him to see, and I'm growing in who I am, and I'm so excited to see what plans he has given me for my future. I'm far from perfect, but with God, I'm never alone, and neither are you. I can't imagine my life without God. He has truly saved me, and he loves me just like he loves everyone in this room. So if you're debating whether to follow Jesus, just do it. Say yes. He doesn't want you to be perfect to surrender to him. He wants you to come as you are, and he loves you. And for those of you who have said yes, a simple invite goes a long way. I've invited my friends to youth because I wanted them to feel that same peace and love that I have, and they gave their lives too. It was just a simple invitation, and it changed their lives. And God's love spreads. His love has transformed my friend group and is changing my grade. Penrith Christian School is different because of God's love. And that's only one place. You can plant seeds in people's hearts anywhere. God changes lives, and he'll use you to bring people to him. God is so good.
Isn't that what it's about? People finding hope, faith. And yes, that's just two stories, but this room is filled with stories. Testimonies of lives changed and transformed. Treasure his people. Jesus came for people. Yes, he came to save the whole world, but really it was about individuals. It's about each and every one of us finding hope and faith and life in him. You look at how Jesus lived his life, the stories of Jesus encountering people. Look in Mark chapter 5, at the start of this chapter, Jesus takes his disciples, they risk their lives to go across a lake for one man. One man who'd been abandoned by society, tied up because he was seen as too crazy, and yet Jesus went for one man. Then he went back across the lake and he encountered Jairus, the head of the synagogue, and his daughter was sick, so Jesus went to heal one young girl. On the way, one woman came and touched his garment, and Jesus healed this woman. You look in John chapter 4, where Jesus goes out of his way for one Samaritan woman. The one matters. People are the treasure. Jesus came, yes, to save us all, but we cannot lose sight of the fact that Jesus wants to meet each and every one of us where we're at. People are the priority. In Luke 13, there's this encounter with Jesus. It says in verse 10, one Sabbath day as Jesus was teaching in a synagogue, he saw a woman who had been crippled by an evil spirit. She'd been bent double for 18 years and was unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Dear woman, you are healed of your sickness." Then he touched her and instantly she could stand straight. How she praised God. But the leader in charge of the synagogue was indignant that Jesus had healed her on the Sabbath day. "There are 6 days in the week for working," he said to the crowd. "Come on those days, be healed, not on the Sabbath." But the Lord replied, "You hypocrites, each of you works on the Sabbath day. Don't you untie your ox or your donkey from its stall on the Sabbath and lead it out to water? This dear woman, a daughter of Abraham, has been held in bondage by Satan for 18 years. Isn't it right that she be released even on the Sabbath?" The synagogue leader, he was so tied up in his rules and regulations and traditions that he lost sight of the fact that people are the priority. Jesus was saying people matter most. Yes, we can get caught up in all this stuff and what we should do, what we shouldn't do, but the fact is that Jesus came for people, that people would find salvation, that their sins would be forgiven, that they would be set free. That's what it was about for Jesus. And so I pray that we wouldn't just be a crowd that gathers, that we would just look and see the number of people. No, I pray we'd be a family of individuals, of people who found hope and faith in Jesus. A place where each and every person has a place to belong and a part to play. We're the family of God. We're not just a crowd that comes together. It's easy to just get lost in the crowd. But no, we're a family that matters, where each person matters. In John chapter 6, you see Jesus and he feeds the 5,000. There's a massive crowd, 5,000 men, many more women and children. And so there's this huge crowd. And then they go out on the water and they come back. And Jesus has this interaction with the crowd. The crowd are just following him. And early on he says, you're just following me because I provided food for you. You just want me to do stuff for you. And he goes on and has this back and forth with the crowd and they get offended. And look in John 6 verse 66, it says, as a result of this, many of his disciples abandoned him and no longer walked with him. So what did Jesus do? This whole crowd, several thousand people, they're walking away. And Jesus does nothing. So Jesus said to the 12 disciples, you do not want to leave too, do you? Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom should we go? You alone have the words of eternal life, and you are our only hope. We have believed and confidently trusted, and even more, we have come to know, and this is so important, by personal observation and experience, that you are the Holy One of God, the Christ, the Son of the living God. See, Jesus wasn't just interested in gathering a crowd. He was sowing his life into the committed. Those who he had chosen to do life with, those who were friends who became his family. I love those words of Peter, by personal observation and experience. You don't get that in a crowd. You get that by intimate relationship with Jesus. See, I don't want to be a part of a church that's just a crowd. I want to be a part of a family. And I pray you've heard these testimonies today that people find hope in this family. People find healing in this family. People find help in this family. And so, you know, you can look at the crowd, and if you're part of the crowd, you just want to be entertained. But if you're a part of the family, you get equipped for doing life, for following Jesus. The crowd is full of spectators, where it's someone else's responsibility to do stuff. But the family is full of helpers who say, I'm responsible. This is my home. I'm here to help. I'm taking responsibility. The crowd can be fickle. They just go here and there with whatever happens. But the family are full of faithful. Those words of people, where else would I go? Of Peter, sorry. Where else would I go? The crowd can be a place full of strangers. You know, you go to the footy. You get frustrated. That person stands up in front of you all the time. Sit down. And you get frustrated. You go to the movies and you're in the crowd and someone's eating popcorn too loud next to you. Or they've got their phone on and you get frustrated. And that's what happens in the crowd because it's a place full of strangers. But in the family, it's a place of forgiveness. Yes, there's frustration, but we deal with our frustrations. We forgive one another. We work out our trials, our challenges because we're the family of God. In the crowd, there can be danger because you don't know who's in the crowd. But in the family, there's protection because there's brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers who are looking out for each other, who are keeping the wolves away. The crowd, it can be all about a transaction. I paid my money to come to this event. What am I getting out of it? But when I'm in the family, it's about generosity. I'm here to give. I'm here to sow my life to be a part of this family. So what's the distinction? What's the one thing that is distinctive between a crowd and a family? I think it's this one thing, love. Jesus said in John 13, verse 34, a new command I give to you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Dave Adamson, who is he heads up YouVersion in Australia. He's been in ministry for many years, and I love on Twitter, he had these quotes about what Jesus said that we wouldn't be known by. And I've got a picture here. Yeah, well, that's very small, sorry. But it says, Jesus didn't say his followers would be known for their opinions, who they vote for, the car they drive, their job title, their social media following, where they live, their church attendance, the music they listen to. Things he said they would be known for, the way we love. Sometimes we can prioritize the wrong things. Jesus said his followers wouldn't be known for their sarcasm, their condescension, their thoughts on vaccines. He said they would be known for the way they love. Sometimes we can get things out of order. I don't want to just be a part of the crowd, but I want to be a part of his family. And his family, the distinctive of his family is love. Love defines us. It differentiates us. It makes us stand out from the world around us. When we can gather together as his family from different cultures, different backgrounds, maybe different political views, who cares about that stuff? We come together as the body of Christ to love one another. It starts here. As his family. And then we take that love and go out to our world. But here's the risk of being the family. The risk is that we can be comfortable in our family. That we're happy, we love each other, we care for one another, and we become this insular community that never grows. But that's not what Jesus called us for. If people are the treasure, if our community is the treasure, we cannot just stay here comfortable in our own place, having a happy service once a week. No, we're called to reach our world for Jesus, to take the love that we have in the house out to our world so that more people can come and find hope in Jesus. So in Luke chapter 14, Jesus is telling this story, a parable of the great banquet, where all these people are invited to come and be a part of this great feast I talked about last week. God loves a party. Every week should be a party. All these people invited to the feast. And all these people started making excuses why they couldn't come. And so the host said, well, go and invite the blind, the lame, the cripples. Let's get everyone in here. And then I love this verse, and this really stood out to me. In Luke 14, verse 22, after the servant had done this, he reported, there is still room for more. So his master said, go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you can to come so that the house will be full. I love that word, those words. There is still room for more. Is there room for more in this house, in our home, that we wouldn't be insular and say, we're just happy, we're just comfortable? I don't believe God has called us just to simply maintain what we have. We've got a city that needs Jesus. People need Jesus. Broken homes, broken relationships, broken people. And if we're just comfortable here in our own little cocoon, then we're missing the point. People matter most. People are the priority. See, we can work to draw a crowd. It just takes a couple of people working extremely hard to put on a great show and draw a crowd. But I don't believe that's what we're called to do. When we're a family, when each and every one of us step up and say, I'm here to build the family of God, that's when we're truly effective. Because a crowd comes and goes, but that's not what we're called to do. We're called to make disciples for Jesus. He said, go into all the world and make disciples. Not go and draw a crowd, but go and make disciples. Make room for more. So I pray that we would make room for more here inside the home, inside the house, and outside in our world. So three things to take away. Make room for more in your heart. It's got to start in our heart. We need to grow ourselves in our own capacity, that we would love more people in our lives. You know, the reason we want to see people find freedom, to find hope in Jesus, to make a difference, is because we want to reach more people for him. We need to grow in ourselves, enlarge your personal capacity. People are the treasure. So inside our house, who are you caring for inside our family? Across church life, who are you reaching out to? Maybe it's in your Connect group. Would we come one every week looking to meet new people who come that we can welcome them into a family? You know, this is not just about the pastors doing the work. No, it's all of us together. We're the family. If we're family and we're responsible, then my hand's up. And so enlarge your heart. Be willing to help. Be willing to take more people into your world. But outside of the church, who are you reaching out to in your world? Who are you praying for? You know, we're the 99, but Jesus called us to reach the one. And I heard this quote, "It seems absurd to leave the 99 to reach the one until you're that one, until your child is that one, until your family member is that one." So make room in your heart. Secondly, make room in your home. What I mean by that is make room in your world. Who are you inviting and welcoming into your life? It's easy, again, to just become happy and comfortable in our world instead of inviting others into our world. You know, I'd say this, and it could be controversial, but don't just invite people to church. Don't just try and get them to a meeting. Invite them into your life. And yes, church can be a part of that, but invite them into your life. We can have a mindset sometimes, I think, that church is like this microwave. If I just get someone inside the building, they'll be cooked and come out a Christian. Now, I believe the presence of God can do miraculous things. Honestly, you know, get someone in the presence of God, it'll change their lives. So many great testimonies of that. But sometimes it takes weeks of you being in someone's life. Sometimes it takes months. Sometimes it takes years. But if people matter most, we're willing to take those years. I matter most to Jesus. I'm that treasure. People are the treasure. So who can you invite into your world, into your home? And also, who can you invite yourself into their world, in your sphere of life? Who can you go and spend time with? You know, go and play sport with someone that you don't normally play sport with, or do something out of the ordinary just to reach someone. Jesus was willing to go across the other side of a lake for one crazy man. What are we willing to do to reach one? Make room in your heart. Make room in your home, and make room with your hands. Who can you serve in your world, in your life? Who can you help? Who can you give a helping hand to? That neighbor who's doing it tough at the moment. That workmate who's going through trials and circumstance and sickness. That family member who maybe has been rejected by everyone else, who could be a little bit prickly. Who can you serve in your world? Make room with your hands. Inside the house, we can serve. You know, there's so many opportunities to serve, to give, to reach out, to help others. Today is an opportunity to serve through our offering, to serve this house, to help improve this house, to make room for more. You know, it's time for us, church, to go to work. And not to just do things just to be busy. No, but to do the work that Jesus has called us to do, to save souls and make disciples. It's not just about busy and doing more events and doing more things and just trying to build a crowd. No, the work that Jesus has called us to is to save souls and make disciples. And it's not just for the professionals. No, this isn't just something for us as pastors to do. This is all of us together. Our job and our heart is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, that we could encourage you, that we could build you up, that we could help send you out into your world. You go places that we would never go. In your workplace, there's people that you'll reach that we'll never have the opportunity to reach, that may never walk in these doors, but you could be the light of Jesus in their world. Don't just try and get them in the room. Try and get them to Jesus. People matter most. We are believing for harvest, but I pray we would get ready for harvest. If we're not ready, will God send the harvest? I pray he does, but I pray that we would be ready. Jesus said, pray for workers. The harvest is plentiful. We need workers. And so, church, let's be the family of God, full of willing workers, willing to be a part of his mission to save souls and make disciples. I want to finish with this story. And you may have heard it before, but in 1987, when Pastor Jack and Carol were sent here to plant this church, and I'm so thankful for all they've done throughout these years. But Noel Messer, who was their pastor in Yuma, Arizona, she had this vision from heaven. And the vision was this, that babies are falling from heaven. And the word of the Lord was to get your baskets to Australia and catch those babies. So my question to you, there's babies falling. There's people to reach. People are the treasure. Are your baskets ready? Let's get ready for harvest. Let's get ready for what God wants to do in us and through us. Let's cherish his church, not because of the building, not because of the crowd, but let's cherish his church because it's his presence and his people. And I pray that today that we would make room for more, that we would be willing to reach out to more, that we'd make room for more in our hearts, that we'd make room for more in our homes, and that we'd make room for more with our hands. I'm going to pray for us, and Belinda's going to come and lead us around our offering. But church, it's time. It's time for harvest. Let's have a vision that God could use us to reach our city for him, to reach your workplace, your university, your school, wherever God has placed you. You're called to be salt and to be light. And I believe God will use you to do incredible things, to take his presence with you, and to see people come to faith in Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your church. I thank you for your presence in this place. Lord, that when we gather, your life-changing presence is here. You're here to heal. You're here to forgive. You're here to save. But Lord, I pray you'd help us treasure your people. I thank you for this gathering here. I thank you that you have drawn us together for this time and this place. But Lord, also send us out to our world. Help us to be a light for you. Help us to be salt for you. Wherever we go, that you could be glorified and that your name would be lifted up, Jesus. In your wonderful name, amen.